to our podcast,
Band BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
On today's episode, we're going to be continuing on in our winter concert series with our next installment of pieces that we consider to be medium easy to medium for your program. Those pieces are Belle Carol Rock by Ryan Fraley, Santa the Barbarian by Randall Standridge, Santa on Parade by Gene Milford, and Secret Agent Sugarplum, arranged by Scott Watson. Cheers to starting the conversation.
Okay, our very first piece, Belle Carol Rock. This is about a minute 45 in length. It's in the key of concert B flat. I absolutely love this piece, and your kids will love this piece. It has an optional drum set part, which is really cool. It is a blend of 6 to 4, the Chicago tune, the Carol of the Bells. So it kind of meshes. It's like a mashup of those two tunes. And it's really, really, really cool. The kids love it. So obviously the bass line is really grooving because it's that 25 or 6 to 4 groove. And then the upper voices get the melody that everybody recognizes. Lots of percussion equipment in this.
Yes, lots.
And all of the percussion equipment is important to really give it that rock feel.
Yeah. So it starts out just with percussion at the beginning, a lot like she said, with lots of drum set, and the bells get the beginning melody because it's, you know, Carol of the Bells. Then the upper people come in with the same melody with the bass line coming in underneath it. It's kind of cool because, of course, there's like a little bit of chromaticism here and there in the bass line. So the kids are getting a little bit of an introduction to that, but the rhythms aren't overly difficult at the very beginning, just quarters and eighth notes with some half notes. Of course, we start to get some accents as we get a little bit further into it with the Carol of the Bells melody, just giving it a little bit of extra oomph. And then at 13, we take over with a new section that's a little bit more thinned out.
So I love this. The upper voices, this is kind of a different melody here. It's not really either one of the melodies that they have started at the beginning with the Carol of the Bells or the 25 or 6 to 4. It's a little bit different here. Softer, way more thinned out, but you still have kind of that thumping tuba line, boom, 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 which continues on. Then we build in, add more of the band coming in, adding everybody to come in. You have some tied
syncopated rhythms in here,
but they're...
this is the Carol of the Bells melody again, but it's syncopated. One and four and one and four and one. So that's pretty cool because it's just giving it a different flavor to... Our favorite Carol of the Bells.
The bass line at this part is different than the tenor line, and the bass line has kind of some funky, I mean, it is, I think, like a rock bass player. It is very much a rock bass line. So the rhythms look a little more complicated than they are, making sure that your students just can differentiate between the ties and the slurs.
Yep. That continues on for quite a while. Then we get to 25.
Some cool hi-hat stuff. Yeah. Open and closed hi-hat.
We get a cool little feature in mallet percussion, as well as like clarinet, flute, and oboe. They get to have the melody. And then the bass line kind of gets to come in underneath them, but it's not anything that's ridiculous. Just a lot of ties in the bass line here. So you do need to make sure, especially if you do mark your parts like Laura and I love to do, you would probably want to write 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. So that way the kids are coming off the tie correctly. And then it's got an eighth note, quarter note, eighth note syncopated rhythm. That's just a little bit more involved and complicated than a normal, like, I guess, winter concert piece would be at this point in the year.
And it only happens in this one little section. Yep. Then we recap and we go back to the same theme that we had at the beginning of the piece. Now, at measure 33, we have kind of this little waterfall effect here. 1, 2, and 3, mm-hmm. 4, and 1, 2, and 3. And it kind of goes through the whole band. This, I will tell you, I think is the most challenging part of the piece to put together because it's just harmonically, it's a little bit different, sounds a little different to their ear. And then it's a counting game and making sure everybody understands where to enter. So this part can sometimes be a little challenging to put together. But again, once you've got it, it's a breeze.
Yep. Does it twice in a row. You can teach forte pianos, getting out of the way when you don't have that waterfall effect. So it's a good teaching tool as well. Then everybody comes back in again with the same thing that we had at the very beginning at 40. And it just finishes out literally with another like recap of every single section again to the very end. It has a cool little bass line ending, and then a little fermata with a cool
drum
moment.
Set fill at the end. Yeah, if you're having a drum set player play, which if you have a kiddo that can do it, it's a cool effect to have. I also like using this because a lot of our students don't know about Chicago, and it's a great way to expose them to a really, really cool band too. So we always make sure to play them the original 25 or 64 as well.
So fun. Our next piece is Santa the Barbarian, and this one is a really fun fan favorite of all the students and audience members.
So it's about 3 minutes in length. It's the longest of all of the medium-level pieces that we're talking about today. It's in the key of E-flat at the beginning, and then it changes to the key of F. So it does have a key change. It is 4/4 throughout, a little bit more rangy in the upper voices in this, but still very playable. And like typical Standridge, lots of percussion.
But super fun because it's got just all kinds of percussion, but the kids really enjoy playing it. We play this piece in my band, every single winter when we go to the elementary schools, and on our tour for some different festivals during that time of year, just because it's really fun and easy to put together. Even differing levels of band can all play most of this piece. So starts off slow and mysterious at the beginning with low people, and then it has a little like jingle bells part, but it's in minor mode, so it's just kind of like, you know, mysterious. There is a narration part at the beginning, and I think at the end of this piece. I have never played with the narration on top of it, but you absolutely can. It's fun. And then there's a ritardando and a quick change to a little bit of a quicker tempo, twice as fast. It's got some staccato parts, and it builds up into the first little melody part, you know, in the trumpet section. 1, 2, and 3, 4. 1, 2, 3. It's up on the housetop, but it's minor mode. So it's really fun because it sounds dark. And of course, I don't know why, but kids love all music that sounds dark.
Yes.
So it's super fun. And then the low brass.
I like some of the stylistic stuff that happens in the low brass here.
Yep. And they get to play staccatos and accents and really bring out different like effects. There's first and second endings too. So it's a great teaching tool for just teaching students about that if you haven't had a chance to do that yet. There is a really cool and important marimba part where the band plays. It's like the ho, 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 and then the marimba gets a little solo, and then the band, who wouldn't know, and then marimba again. So you have to have a marimba player or a bells player or something of that sort with this piece. So just kind of keep that in mind if you don't have a ton of percussion in your group. Then we have more accents, same thing back and forth. Then we have at 37, a new section with lots of percussion, a big timpani feature, which is really fun. The kids get to chant, which is really fun. And of course, you know, when you're playing this for a younger audience, they think it's really cool.
Ham it
you
up. Know.
Yeah, ham it up, because like our other friends that are playing at the same time, hopefully you guys understand what I mean. They're not playing dark, like fun, exciting music. And so it's fun for us. Then it moves on to the key of F concert. And then it's more chanting. And then the low brass get the melody, which they love this part. And again, it's up on the housetop, but minor mode. And then the trumpet gets this little like minor second thing that starts piano and gets to mezzo forte against each other. It kind of sounds like a warning, which is really fun.
Trades off with percussion there, which is cool.
And no crazy. Yes, I forgot about that with the anvil and stuff. It's so fun. There's no crazy rhythms though. It's just eighth notes, quarter notes, and half notes, like all the way through. So students just have to have a limited range of rhythmic knowledge, I guess. Then it's a kind of a recap of the very beginning, more chanting back and forth with percussion, and that's the end of the piece. So it's just a fun and I think easy piece to put together. And as I mentioned, we put it together with all of our bands at Moss, which is cool because it's allowing everybody to get a chance to play the same piece
together. It's attainable by multiple levels.
Yes, absolutely.
Our next piece is Santa on Parade by Gene Milford. It's about a minute and 45 seconds long. It's in 2-4. It's in the key of concert B flat. And I cannot tell you how much I love this piece.
I think it's so cute.
So it takes famous marches and mixes some holiday tunes, some recognizable carols with famous marches. So some things that you need to consider for this one. It has a lot of stylistic and rhythmic demands on your ensemble. One of the things I love about using this piece is it is a great way to introduce march style before contest season.
Yes.
I have played this piece with some of our non-varsity bands a handful of times, and I think it's also really cool if the march that you play at UIL can be one of the marches that is quoted in here.
We've done that a
couple of times, which the kids really love because they recognize the
melody.
They have a connection there. It's pretty traditional percussion on this as far as a march goes. It's like traditional march percussion in this. And then, like I said, range for the first players is a little bit higher.
For sure. So it starts off with melody in the upper woodwinds and trumpet. As she mentioned, it goes up to an E in the first trumpet part right away. So you definitely need to make sure that the kids can have that range possible for themselves. Some dotted 8/16th rhythms right away, and coming in on the and two and. So making sure that students feel comfortable with like eighth rest rhythms. And so that's good just for teaching them that sort of stuff coming into the school year.
When you get to measure 9, we get to our first little carol statement. One and two, Jolly Old St. Nicholas here. I love that you get some of these little pops of flute and trumpet and a two. It's
dun,
a little
dun,
more
common. Yeah,
yeah.
So
and
cute.
A two and one and two and yeah. So all of these little things, but it is a little bit more rhythmically demanding, and some of those entrances on the ands or the tays that I know can be kind of challenging sometimes for younger players.
Right. After that section, it changes key signature to concert E flat. And now we have full 2D grouped together again, like a march style with dotted quarter notes, with eighth notes, a little chromaticism. And then the lows get the melody, followed again by the upper woodwinds having some more and a two and one and a two rhythms back and forth. So it's just
little
very
fanfare pops, yes, by the trumpets, which are cute.
That goes on for quite a while. And then at 41, we're 2D again. And we get a chance to just play like matched up style, matched up rhythms, which is really nice. And then we have a little cool slurry section here.
So leading into what I think is our little final melody, if I remember correctly. So starting at measure 49, we have all of these single eighth notes with marcato accents on them. Looks harder than it is, but just aligning and making sure that the style alignment is good there. And then your low brass get to take over the melody here. 2-1-2-2-1-2. Because of the weird ties across the bar lines, this I think is actually the most challenging section
for
the low voices to put together, to make sure that they just count through those ties really carefully.
And then that same melody goes into the trumpets and the alto saxes, actually, and so that continues on. And then we get another little recap of,
so I lied, it's not the last, it's not the last melody.
That's okay. Then we go back to the little melody from the beginning, but then with the little fanfare flourishes and the upper woodwinds. And it's getting a little bit busier towards the end. So you'll just have to work on making sure that you identify, you know, who's going to have the melody and where. And it kind of has the same thing again, but this time the trumpets get the bum, bum, ba-dum, bum bum ba dum again, but this time with upper woodwinds. And then at 83, we get another little slurry section.
All right, so this is our final little closing out the piece here. I also think it's fun. It's written really well. I think it's fun to let your kids go explore what marchers are quoted in this. It's a great way to get them like out there and listening to some really famous marches and seeing if they can find which ones are quoted. We did that with one of the groups that we played this with. Just an adorable piece. Lots of style demands rhythmic demands in this one, but it's a great teaching tool before you teach your march during contest season. So I love this one.
And our last piece is Secret Agent Sugar Plum, arranged by Scott Watson.
Another absolutely adorable piece. This one is about 2 minutes and 20 seconds long. It's in 4/4 and in the key of E flat. I think this one, it does not change keys. Okay, yeah. I thought it changed keys. I apologize. But this is it is meant to sound just like the title indicates. It is Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairies, but it has like this
Mission Impossible.
Yeah,
type
what is the 007 type of
James Bond.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I think.
Or Mission Impossible. Yeah, I mean, whatever.
But one, it is very, very
so
cute.
It starts off with like that da, 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 like literally the James Bond theme. It's got some style markings, but it's not like insane, like some accents and staccatos here and there. The rhythms are a little bit easier on this piece. But
some of them look complicated. Yeah. Like you can see right there where we have the single eighth notes followed by the eighth thrust. I mean, you know, kids are going to see a single eighth note and they're going to want to play it on an upbeat.
Right.
So that's where pre-marking those parts and maybe putting down arrows on all of those rhythms to just ensure that they understand these are all downbeat notes.
Yep. At 7, the upper people come in with the Sugar Plum Fairy melody. So lots of accidentals. It's good to just teach them about full value staccato notes and not making them too short. So again, a little bit of a teaching tool there.
Some also alternate fingerings in this that like I would go through those upper woodwind parts and make sure that you know like when are they playing thumb B flat? When are they not? When do they need to move on the flutes? If we need any alternate fingerings in the clarinets because it does cross the break.
Yep. And then there's like a little fun ratchet part that's supposed to make it, I guess, sound like the secret agent. And then every once in a while in this piece, you get the 4 and a 1, part that comes in. So the students will look at that and go, oh, I get some 16th notes. So.
And it lays pretty easy. It happens several times. So once they kind of get it and they, you know, get it under their fingers, it should not be intimidating.
The upper, woodwinds again have the melody quite often in the piece, and then every once in a while trumpet may join in with them. And then at 27 we have a new section with some slurs added in. So it's been accents and staccatos till now.
And lots of accidentals throughout this one, of course. So again, you know, I can't stress enough, I think, the importance of kind of pre-marking this music for them. You do get a little more complicated 16th note rhythms with some 8th note and 2/16ths, but it happens across the ensemble. So it's good to teach those as a full ensemble and like you can count them together, clap them together, articulate them together. Nothing too difficult, but again, and it's all on one note, or most of it is on one note.
Yep.
The thing I like about that, obviously that makes it a little bit easier. It basically just becomes an articulation exercise at that point. But I like that kids see it and go, ooh, I get to play something a little harder.
Yes. Then we go back to the same like James Bond melody from the beginning with the upper woodwinds again, having the Sugar Plum Fairy. Then we get a waterfall effect towards the end at 56, starting off with the low people and kind of the middle voices, and then the upper people join in with some accents. So another good teaching tool there. And then we have the exact same thing again. So it's extremely repetitive, but fun because they recognize both Sugar Plum Fairy and
the
James
007
theme for sure all the way throughout. So we hope that you have gotten some good ideas for some medium to medium easy pieces for your winter concert.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Band BFFs.